This is Bronson Hermuth coming to you from Nashville, Tennessee, Music Row. I'm sitting in Michael Holmes' studio, and I'm with Steve Henson. Steve, thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Man, I appreciate it very, very much. So tell me, man, what was your first paid gig?
My first paid gig? When I got to town, I started hanging around on Lower Broadway at Demon's Den, where all the guitar players and the steel players and everybody went. And I talked them into letting me sit in with the band. And a guy came in and asked me if I wanted to go to North Dakota or Minnesota or somewhere. And he had a school bus with bunks in it. And he said, I'll give you $65 a day or something like that. And I was all over it because I was about to starve to death.
Where did you come here from?
Macon, Georgia.
And you didn't play in Macon?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You mean my first paid gig ever?
I mean your first paid gig ever.
Oh, well, that would probably be in a little junior high school in South Georgia.
How old were you?
About 14.
How much did you make?
$15. $15.
What year did you come to Nashville?
What year?
Uh-huh.
77.
So that was your first one, and you took that gig and went on tour and come back?
Yeah, the school bus with the bunks.
Yeah, so what was the first gig you got that was a star gig?
Fellow named John Conley.
John Conley.
You remember him. He had rose-colored glasses.
Yeah, I remember him. Mm. Were you with him when he had that?
No. He had that in 79, and I went with him the end of 80.
So I know, obviously, man, everybody that knows you, for 13 years you've been with Randy Travis.
Yeah.
Man, you like that gig, huh?
Oh, man, he's so good to me. He's an old buddy of mine, and he treats me square, and I'm glad to be there.
So we're sitting here in January of 2008. What's your next gig with Randy?
This weekend in Vegas.
Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Man, that'll be fun. So you came to Nashville, and you got that gig, and then you came back in town, and did you have anything at all recorded of what you sounded like yet, or was you just out there freewheeling trying to get gigs?
I really didn't have anything recorded. I just kind of showed up. A friend of mine worked for somebody you knew, Pete Drake.
Right.
And he was a promotion man for Pete's little label that he had.
Who's that?
John Hart.
Cool.
He's still around town. He's got his own promotion company now.
Cool.
Great guy, man. He was a disc jockey in Macon,
mm-hmm.
and he used to come out to this club that I worked. And he ended up here, and he called me and said, you want to be on the Grand Ole Opry this weekend? And I said, yeah, I believe I do.
Yeah, I believe I do.
And so he had me a gig with Skeeter Davis.
Oh, cool.
So by the time I got up here, the gig had gone away. And I didn't have enough money to go back home. My daddy gave me $50.
Uh-huh.
I came up here. As soon as I get my hands on another $50 that I don't owe anybody,
right,
I may go back home.
You play a lot of instruments, man, and you're a consummate session player. I've had the honor and pleasure of working with you in the studio since like 92, 93, I believe was the first time we did any sessions together. Tell me the instruments that you play professionally that you would be able to play on someone's record.
I don't know if I play any of them professionally, but I got a bunch of different stuff. I play electric guitar and a little bit of acoustic, and the dobro and slide guitar and pedal steel.
Mm-hmm. So, do you have any one of the above that you prefer playing? If you could only play one, is there one that you would prefer above the others?
Probably the steel guitar.
Steel,
yeah,
that's the one.
I love it. I do.
So, I know you were talking about Pete Drake. You mentioned him earlier, and I know you went to the school of Drake. You know,
I was kind of on the fringe in the Drake school of recording.
He loves you, though, man. You know he loves you.
I loved him too, man. One of the last times I saw him, my hair used to be real long, like halfway down my back, and I had a beard, you know.
Right.
I was playing a club in Printer's Alley, and I got off, and I thought, I'm going to go by there and see old Pete over at Pete's place.
Right.
And I walked in, and he was cutting a vocal on Melba Montgomery.
Right.
I'll never forget it. Oh, Jack, man. Solomon was there, Melba's husband.
Yeah.
And they got through with the take, and I believe it was Angel of the Morning.
Wow.
Which was one of her hits. Wow. Remember that?
I do.
And Pete said, if you'll cut that hair and shave off that beard, I got you a job with Kitty Wells and Johnny Wright.
And you did it?
No.
What happened?
No, sir, I did not. I wasn't very smart back then, or I would have done it. hindsight being what it is, hindsight's 20/20. You know, if I had to do over again, I've done that because I have met Miss Kitty and Johnny since then, and they're lovely people.
Right.
And I wish I'd have gone to work.
Well, man. So, is there a preference for you, man? You've played, you know, who knows how many live gigs you've done and how many sessions you've done, but is there a preference there? Do you prefer one above the other, or are they just two things you enjoy, playing live or playing in the studio?
I like both of them, and I'm lucky enough to get to do both of them.
Right.
You know, I think it's a good balance because, you know, everybody pretty much starts off playing live, you know. And,
yeah.
And then some people kind of gravitate toward the studio thing, you know, and I think I'd miss it terribly if I didn't do some of it, you know, and we don't do shows all the time with Randy. I mean, you know, we do 50, 60 a year, you know, and that's a good balance for me.
Yeah.
I
so,
enjoy it.
Now, as musical as you are, Steve, was there someone in your family when you were growing up that was influenced you to play music?
Well, my dad played guitar, and got a cousin in Jacksonville, Florida that was a really good guitar player. And, you know, just growing up in the South, you know, there's always people in your family that are guitar players. That just seems to be kind of a real common thing. You
well,
know?
Coming from Macon, man, that was Allman Brother country.
Exactly. And they were like the local heroes. Of course, Little Richard is from Macon.
Right.
Otis Redding was from Macon.
Right.
James Brown spent a lot of time around that area, you know. And
did you see Otis live?
I did not. I remember when he died, though. I remember I used to read the newspaper every morning before I'd go to school. I'd get up and eat breakfast and read the newspaper.
How old were you?
Let's see. Otis died, I think, in 67 or 68, maybe. I was about 12, I guess.
Yeah.
And I remember it on the front page of the paper. I mean, it was a really big deal because this was pre-Allman Brothers.
Right.
Of course, they had the same manager.
Right.
A guy named Phil Walden.
Right.
You know? But I remember that very well. When Otis died, because he was a big deal.
Yeah, I'll bet it was a big
locally,
deal.
He was a big deal everywhere, but, you know, local hero.